No one ever said, now we're going to begin. I never heard Jim before, and the lead premiere there too. We heard people for the first time. We took a lot of risks. We didn't have a dulcimer there, but I'd like to introduce myself to a dulcimer. Jim, play and tune it up, and I want to talk about a stone. And I'm going to ask Ingrid, because Ingrid Klein was one of the girls who came out to second base under the gondola, where center stage and two side stages were, and I was the MC on the orange stage, and had lots of people coming up there and hugging me, and I knew a lot of them from Holden, and the others all looked like they belonged to Holden. And Holden had a booth over in the Astor Hall. It was a place where you could come and get a sense of it, and it was there. It was also in the Astrodome. And what we did down in the three clusters where 20,000 lived in three clusters of hotels was also kind of a Holden thing, because the kids put their day together themselves. Mostly they put it together 9 plus 1. 9 kids and 1 counselor, approximately that ratio. They created their day. Didn't always work out exactly that way, but it wasn't one person telling 20,000 how they had to spend their day. And had told them too. No one's telling us how to spend tomorrow. I need some dulcimer music. How about a song you like today? If not, then the second best. Sometimes the best is hard to choose. Tell us a little, while you're doing it, about what dulcimer is. Is it a brave instrument? Is it timid? Is it bold? Sophisticated?
It's not sophisticated. It can be either timid or bold, depending how you feel. It's pretty ancient.
Perfect. Intro. We never use the word introduction. Intro meant introduction. Perfect intro to a rock. Not sophisticated, but what do you say? It's what?
Ancient.
And can be timid or bold, depending on what? How you feel. In brainstorming session back in January, Mary Travers, and we eventually had Judy Collins, who wiped out, but they brought stones. I mean, they brought rocks. I mean, it took 2 and 3 to carry them. And they had deep feeling about them. Some of them they took to engravers and had them engrave them so beautifully, and some of them were painted. Charlie's our Martin Luther. He's up there in the booth. The only way to get in touch with him is with the headphones backstage. I say to John and Elle, I want to talk to Charlie. They get me Charlie, and I say, Charlie, out of the 250 slides or tapes, you and I've got to do a little catechizing tonight, okay? So we rig up a little bit, and then it goes like this, about a half hour later. How do you like Charlie? You know, by now they don't know, except that there's a marvelous guy named Charlie. If I'd have asked, how do you like Martin Luther, they'd have cheered him. How do you like Charlie, they'd have cheered him too. They got to know some very important people. I said, Charlie, what I want on that big astrolite board, I want one word that disciples and Jesus had a very close scrape, an argument with the Pharisees, and it was tough, and they were glad it was over. On the scoreboard comes a great big word. Not bad, a little subtle for 18, 17, 16-year-olds. So, but we got another one. Charlie, how about... is there anything up there that you've got in all of that language of this Astrodome? Have you got Easter? And he pushes in the home run. And the home run is the Cowboys coming out shooting bang bang stars and everything. It just runs all over the scoreboard. And it, you know. Now comes the catechetical question. True or false? 20,000. True. Of all the things that we had seen on that scoreboard, the one that sounded and looked and felt like Easter was a home run. And that's what Easter is. That is the biggest thing you can get. And then at the end, you know, when it's all over and said and done, and you want to say one word to God, Charlie. I don't want a sentence. I don't want a page. I want one word, Charlie. Big word. Thanks. Right in the middle of the astrolabe, four stories high. And today, from Ireland, hear her. It was 11:30 Wednesday night. The 36 of us from St. Paul Lutheran, Sheldon, Iowa, were on our way home outside the terminal. The group paused. I asked, do you remember the one word that Charlie put on when Herb asked him which one word says how we feel about God? Everyone remembered, all 38. And then we looked up into the millions of stars, into the biggest dome of all, and we all said, thanks. Signed, thanks, your friend Don Lowe's. That's like Kennedy's funeral, you know, you don't plan them. But when they're there, you don't miss them. They become signs for the whole church on earth and the world. And there's a lot of stuff hanging around that if we could name it, we could claim it. And then we wouldn't have to bore people with, oh gosh, do I have to tell you for the 28th time something that I wish you would have caught the first time round? And that's kind of what it was. It was like at Holden. There's some things that you don't have to have twice. You have them once. And you have it forever. And I think Luther said something like, and if he didn't, we'll hear about it this week. I think he said something like, if you have one good communion in your life, that may be all you want. Mm-hmm. There are some things that you can have once, then you've had it as though for always. Yeah. Beautiful Savior. I have a story to close with that. You can sing it through, hum it through, and then whistle it through. Then you'll join some of the things we did. That night, 25,000 whistling Beautiful Savior in the Astrodome. That was another first. That whole thing was first. But I think our whole life ought to be first. I don't really believe in seconds. There are enough firsts to be had. Okay. Thank you. I don't know how you're going to take this story, and I say that not to protect myself, but to warn you. Luther went out into the what is called the world. I don't know what he wasn't confused by that very much. It just meant he went out to have a beer, and he heard some good songs. Of course, having a beer for Luther was like probably having milk. But anyway, he went out and he heard these songs on the jukeboxes, and he said, "Hey, I like that melody. I think I'll give it another text, a little twist. It might have a good song for the church." And we got some of this combination of the inside and the outside. And that's always going on. That's always going on. Jesus did the same. He went out with some bread. He didn't see a Christian bird. He saw a bird, you know. He didn't see a Christian nest. He saw a nest. He didn't see some Christian seed. He saw some seed. A few people there, maybe some of your friends had a little trouble wondering if everything was Christian. I asked them if the Texaco sign was Christian up there. It was about four stories high, too. And they didn't know if it was Christian or not. They thought not. But I told them, I like Texaco gas. And they said, so do we. But as a Christian, I use Texaco gas. But I don't think that Texaco gas is Christian per se. So, you know, you may have to deal with some of that back home with some of your beloved friends and relatives. But we had very little of that. They were putting that all together in a very Lutheran, a very Christian way. When we were down in January in the Holiday Inn, in the restaurant, in the cafe there, the piano player who sang at the bar, her name Carolyn Jones, I heard her for about 3 minutes, and I said to Jerry, she must sing in the dome with us. And I found out that Carolyn Jones is in the church, like some of us maybe. She doesn't, you know, go to church every Sunday, but she is in the church. And Carolyn Jones could hardly believe. In fact, we were going to give her $200 as an honorarium. That's very, you know, that. When we were bringing in people for $15,000, we give her $200, you know the difference. She's not professional, but she's one they won't forget. And we brought her to the Astrodome. She gave up a trip to Europe, which came to her that very same week, so that she could be in the Astrodome. And there she comes, and she brings her mother in from out of town. Her mother's up in the press box, and all the barmaids are with her up in the press box. And we have now got that cafe in the dome, huh? And they are cheering her. We put the spotlights on her, so that when we're naming the dome, I call the dome for trial, you know, a Jones Dome. King Dome, I think, won. But Jones Dome at least was mentioned, and her name was Jones. And once at least, in the context of the church, her mother's name was mentioned. And I hear that there were just tears all the while she was in the press box to think that her daughter was our organist. That's what she was, with a band behind her. We had two bands. We didn't have an organist. We had two stage bands. And she came up, and I said, can you play, you know, when we lit the candle, what we wanted was out of that lighted candle was Morning has dawned. She didn't know it well enough. I said, how about Beautiful Savior? She said, I'll try. How does it go? She said, I think I remember that song. And I hummed it, and she hummed it with me. That's like 5 minutes before it all starts. And she hummed it along, and she said, oh, I think it's Ferris Lord Jesus. I said, that's the one. And she said, could I have the words? And the stage manager backstage puts his headphone in. He gets the words from some hymnal. And writes them down, puts it there, and then she's on. You didn't know that, did you? No. She sang Beautiful Savior with just a little different beat at one point, which gave you the impression that she thought it could be a little different, or that she just learned it. She had just learned it again. And she led us then in Beautiful Savior, and that was one of the really high points, wasn't it? Just beautiful, beautiful. And then we whistled, and then she sang it. Carolyn Jones came to us, and she was our organist. And then she went back, and the next night at the bar, she was playing all those songs. She sang Romans 12, our text for that whole convention. She sang that whole text. She sang it in a brand new tune, as she, this beautiful, big, black woman, could. And she really belted it out. And I said to her, that was great, because we gave her the text back in March. She said, I had it all ready. When I sat out here, I changed it all. This is the first time I ever sang it this way. That, you know, that's what was stars. Stars were, you know, girls like this. A donkey that we had there every day. Her name is Maud. And mostly they didn't find Maud because, I mean, you know, it's hard to look for a donkey in the crowd. They look like people, or they kind of blend in. This one looked like a top of a whole bunch of hair. So we couldn't find Maude, and every once in a while, where is Maude on the phone? So then I'd ask the kids, do you see Maude? And that was some of the intrigue. You know, it's nice when the bulletin doesn't tell you everything. So we were looking for Maude. What we really wanted, and we had agreed, that Dr. Preuss from the American Lutheran Church, and Dr. Preuss from the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, and Dr. Marshall from the Lutheran Church of America, that these three great men should come riding in on an ass. That's why we really brought Maude in. Well, two of them were in Geneva, and so the third one didn't come, so we had an ass, but we had no presidents. At the very last minute, we also brought the donkey in as a great sign of the king in Jerusalem. We also brought it in for that. Also brought in for all kinds of other reasons I won't have time to describe. But you who are in planning committees, you know how much history you have behind an event. Well, so we brought in the president of LACUSA, the Lutheran Church of the United States of America, all right? The Lutheran Council. He's an ordinary guy. I mean, his name is Arnie Mickelson. They call him Doctor, but he's Arnie to me. And I call him Mr. Lutheran, and when I introduced him, I said to him and the crowd, if he's really Mr. Lutheran, do you think that he would ride a donkey? You know what they would say, huh? What'd you say? Yeah, everyone wanted him to ride the donkey. So the next day he came back to prove that he was Mr. Lutheran, that he could be humble and he could be a servant, and that he would care for their desire that he ride a donkey. He bought a beautiful jacket, all nice. I think we went down to Mexico to get it. He came so he could ride a burro and be seen and detected from the burro. There he was, lingering backstage for 2.5 hours. It was an night we had a concert. He kept asking, where is the donkey? I said, I don't know where the donkey is. We got donkey spotters. Could not find the donkey. He went home. He had to fly back to Minneapolis that night without any, not unable to ride the ass. And he was willing. Huh? And I found out that the cart on which they would bring the donkey, the taillights had broken out, so the police wouldn't let the donkey on the road. So that's why Maude never came that night. Next day, Maude was there. And when Maude came in, the other MC, who had goofed some other things too, as I had, he said, Herb, I think the donkey should be rid, and I shall ride the donkey. I put it to the group. I think it's important to put it to the congregation. I asked him yea or nay. I asked, shall he ride the donkey, yea or nay? They said, yea. And he got on the donkey, and while he rode the donkey, it was really, you don't see that very often. While he rode the donkey, we read Romans 12 off the astral world board. You don't usually get a donkey ride while you're reading the scriptures. But just as though the donkey rode right out of the scriptures. So there were these combinations of things. I want to close, because I don't want to lap into some free time that you might want to have before the laying on of hands, or a little time we're going to have down in the shaft now. I hope with Dulcimer and with Jim and Jane. I want to close with two kinds of people who were there. Gary Barnes was here, I think, last year, right? Gary was here as mime. Gary is a mime. A mime is someone, silent. You saw the movie The Parable? The one on the donkey, the mime is white-faced. He brought his troop. The reason we have them in the dome is that they don't say anything. They're there. It's like someone who's there, and you have to deal with him because he's obviously there. And they do what Bob was saying this morning in his lecture. They deal with reality and with illusion, and they were letting out the kites, and they were hauling the kites back in. They were setting up tents. They were making themselves at home. They were doing all of these things that was always going on. So if you were bored with what was on the center stage, you had them, and you also had a troop of clowns. And the clowns had a little, well, you might say a miracle marker. I won't call it a magic marker, a miracle marker. And what they would do is they would be present. They would confront a person until that person was just there. Wasn't doing anything but being there. It was so tough, Some of them ran away. Some of them pushed the clowns. When the clowns were lying where the stones were, that was kind of their home. We call it Bethel. When the clowns were lying there sleeping, pretending to be asleep, for a while they were kicked, pinched. The first night they were mistreated. After the kids had cheered, you know, for loving one another, these clowns got bumped around. But by the fifth day, the kids were standing in line, because these clowns were for them, those who come, and they were present, and they would take this little miracle marker, and they would make a mark only when they looked at the clown that side. And the kids found that the presence means to be truly present, to be absolutely aware of each other. And that was the ministry. I don't think you're going to hear so much or read so much about that, and you must understand me that when I give reports, I usually give reports in what is called a crack. I go in between spaces, and there's a lot of other kind of stuff that you're going to hear and you should read and know about. I can't tell you about it, because that's someone else's language to give. I'd like to close with a song. I picked the one here when we had the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, and after the second set, and 15,000 had left. You'll hear that 15,000 left, 5,000 stayed. Well, I would leave too if I came 2 hours early and sat through all of the things they sat through, and then the program itself, and then the jazz band. 15,000 left some nights. That meant they had other things to do, and that's the choice they had. That's the choice, because they'd been there 3 hours. You know? Some stayed the extra hour and heard this jazz band. At the end of the second set, it was a jazz fest. It was a festival down between home base and second base. And between home and second. And here's what we heard. When the sings. It was as humble as that. Don't shake my hand too hard, he said. It's gnarled, you can see. I'm over 70. Couldn't hear it with gnarled. And that man with that little black hat looked like it'd been through everything, taking a little walk. That's when Norma was taking down the kite.
Number when I sing.